week before, we began lessons on the cross, and we looked at the three views of the cross, and that was the historical cross, and the theological cross, and the metaphorical cross, and we had done a short study on that, and we realized that the world itself, they don't accept the message of the cross. They believe that message is foolishness. And that is to those who are perishing. And we also looked at the concept of every saint. Every child of God needs to be having that mindset that we boast only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all acknowledge that the cross on which our Savior died was not our cross. That cross was preordained from before the foundation of the world, and it was literally a cross for Christ. And tonight I want to continue with a study, and the study is entitled simply The Preaching of the Cross. And there are some confusions amongst people in the world, especially those of the denominational world, when it comes to what that term really means, to preach the cross. A cross, for example, when we think about most denominations, they teach that preaching the cross simply means teaching only what Jesus did and putting away basically everything that Jesus said or taught. To seek and to exclude all forms of doctrinal teaching from what they call the gospel, reducing the gospel down to just a few acts of Christ. And when we think about that, there's a website that I looked at just tonight, just to get some more ideas about what people do teach out there and things that we need to be on guard for when we think about preaching the cross. There's a website that's called the doctrine.org. And there's a lot of very interesting teaching on that website. And I don't recommend using that as a source for truth. For example, they say that the preaching of the cross was a distinctive message of the Apostle Paul. In fact, they claim that Jesus never preached anything about the cross, that none of the other disciples or apostles ever preached the cross, that it was originally a doctrine of the Apostle Paul. In fact, it was the gospel he preached, that Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead for our salvation. And he gets that somehow from 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 as the only doctrine that's applicable when you preach the cross. And he goes on to say that Paul's gospel was a faith plus nothing. We've heard that so many times. A faith plus nothing is the gospel, the true gospel of the Apostle Paul. And it gets even worse as you go on down here, and we see that that very same website makes it very clear that Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven, and they say Paul did not. That Paul preached justification by faith alone, Jesus did not. I had an interesting Bible study with a visitor we had here a few weeks back. And she sat in my living room and she quoted Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And she said, and not perfectly quoting, but she said, "Aren't we not saved by grace alone and by faith alone and nothing else?" And so we went down that road. And she learned that from people like this who teach that preaching the Christ or preaching the cross means that you just simply preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And they teach her that it's faith plus nothing. And so, did Paul teach about the kingdom? We'll talk about that in a minute. But you know, when we think about preaching the cross, since the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and we know that from what Paul said, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and one preaches the gospel, one preaches the cross. The preaching of Christ and Him crucified in 1 Corinthians 1:23 is indeed preaching the cross. Have we not heard the Apostle Paul himself in 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And so are we to assume that that's it? And there's nothing more. You know, in 1 Corinthians here, the Apostle Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And when we think about that, the power of God. "For Christ did not send me to baptize," Paul said, "but to preach the gospel not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect." Christ, the power and wisdom of God. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." And so when we think about preaching the cross of Christ, what is it that comes to your mind when you think of that? Is it a wooden stick? is it a metal pendant that we wear around our necks? Or maybe for some people it's a metal cross with a picture or an image of Jesus on that cross called a crucifix. But that's not what the cross is all about. The cross is something that has to be preached. And it's the power of God to save us. Now listen, to preach the cross of Christ is to preach the gospel. It is to preach the testimony of God. It is to preach the wisdom of God, which has been revealed by the Spirit of God in the book that we have called the Bible. And that's what we're reading here, that there is more to the preaching of the cross than just talking about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. "And I, brethren," he says, "I came to you," when we think of the Apostle Paul, "I did not come with excellence of speech." We're thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, by the way, if you want to turn there. "I did not come to you with excellence of speech," Paul said. He didn't come with the great wisdom of man or powerful declaring testimony from man. In verse 2, he says, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ crucified. And I was," in verse 3, "with you in weakness, in fear." Think about this. This is the Apostle Paul. And he's coming to the Corinthians and saying, "I'm with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." And we have to ask the question, why? Weakness, fear, much trembling. But to demonstrate, in demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God is what he really wanted to get across. But why is it that Paul approached them this way? The answer, of course, is in verse 5. That your faith is in the wisdom of God, or in the power of God, and not in the wisdom of men. He wanted people to recognize that it was not Paul whom they need to follow. It was not Paul that had all the power. It was not Paul that was able to save their souls. But it was the power of God. And that's what Paul preached. In verse 6 of that same chapter, he says, "We are to believe the saving message of Christ was reduced down to 13 words. Is that what Paul said? I want you to think about that, because that's what that website wants us to believe. They want us to believe the 13 words, Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead for our salvation, and that's all there is, zero additions. And that's what they want you to believe, that Paul taught. But Paul goes on to say, "We teach the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden wisdom, which God has ordained before the ages for our glory." The cross that Jesus died upon was an important message. But his life on this earth, his ministry, and the words of his Sermon on the Mount, and everything that he taught while he was here, is also important to preach. It's not reduced down to just 13 words. And yet that's what people would have you believe. "Which none of the rulers of this age," Paul said, none of the rulers of this age knew. They didn't understand, they didn't recognize, and they didn't accept Christ and Christ crucified. He says, for had they had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory in the first place. And he speaks these things not in the wisdom of men's words or the wisdom of any man whatsoever, including Paul, but he teaches it according to the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. When we preach the cross of Christ, we are not to be reduced down to just 13 words. And no one I know of that's a member of the body of Christ would believe such a thing. But realize that many of your friends and many of your family members and many, many people that you work with and just day-to-day meeting of people, they believe this kind of a doctrine. And these false teachers are powerful in the way in which they present their message. And so we need to move forward and think about preaching of the cross to receive the Word of God. That is to receive the gospel. When we preach the cross, we're preaching the cross so that others can receive the Word of God. Not just 13 words, but the whole counsel of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, we know what happened. Those who gladly what? Received the Word. The gospel was preached by Peter. Peter didn't only preach about the death of the Lord. He preached that the people who were standing there were guilty of killing the Lord. And he also preached about the prophecy of Joel that the Spirit would be poured out that day. Peter did not only say 13 words. If you read his sermon from Acts chapter 2 and all the way into Acts chapter 3, you see quite a few words and quite a few things that Peter preached when he preached Jesus to those Jews. But they heard what he preached, they gladly received his words, and they were baptized. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, when they believed Philip, as he preached in Samaria the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They heard the word. They believed the preaching of Philip. And Philip didn't just say 13 words. As we go back and recount the things that Philip would teach. And listen, when you think about that, I want you to stop for a second and think about Philip. It says, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, he preached the kingdom. That doctrine.org that we looked at earlier said that Jesus preached the kingdom. Paul didn't. The implication was that Philip didn't, or Peter didn't, or none of the other apostles or writers of the New Testament. But see, that's contrary to good doctrine of the Bible. These false teachers are from the doctrine.com. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. That's what Paul said he was preaching about, the kingdom of God. How can they say that Paul never preached about the kingdom? And five times in 1 Corinthians 4, 26, 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 10, 15, 24, and 15, 50. You look at all those texts and you realize that the Apostle Paul preached about the kingdom in every single one of them. In Galatians, in Colossians, in Ephesians, in Thessalonians, in 2 Timothy, Paul preached about the kingdom. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, he who has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Preaching the cross includes preaching the kingdom. Don't let anybody confuse you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said that we who walk worthy of God, he would call us into his own kingdom and glory. This is the Paul who they said was contrary to Jesus and never preached the kingdom. False teachers You know, also, we think about the Apostle Paul and what he wrote. If you're looking at 1 Corinthians still, look at chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul declares the gospel which I preach to you, he says, which also you received, in which you stand, and by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preach to you. Paul didn't just use 13 words when he preached to those in Corinth. There's two entire books written to those in Corinth. Not 13 words. Many, many words. And the Apostle Paul says that we need to hold fast to that which was preached, the word that we received that was preached to us, lest we believe in vain. Preaching the cross is more than Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Have we not studied the things that the Apostle Paul has written? The writer of the majority of the New Testament, that's who Paul is. That would make the New Testament a very, very tiny book if it only had 13 words, wouldn't it? And if all that Paul ever preached was Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, we wouldn't have much time to study. We wouldn't need much time to study, would we? And the truth is that that kind of false teaching leads people not to study because they feel as though that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ saves them if they believe, and that's all there is to it. That's faith plus nothing. And that's what the world teaches. We need to be prepared to answer that kind of question, and that's, I hope, what this lesson is all about. Preaching the cross is to receive the word, which is the gospel of Christ. And think about that. The word is what we receive when we preach the gospel of Christ. That's what other people receive, and it's the grace of God. Unless and until one is obedient unto the word of his grace, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, there is no salvation. The preaching of the cross includes obedience. We must see that. So it isn't 13 words, but it is the entire counsel, the whole counsel of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, the workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Receiving the word of God in vain. And when we think about grace, think about Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is really important about grace. I've always used the phrase that grace is the power of God to overcome sin. I firmly believe that. But listen to what Paul says to Titus here. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What does it do? It's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. In other words, the grace of God teaches us how to live soberly, how to deny ungodliness, how to put away worldly lust, how to live righteously and godly in this present age. That's what grace is all about. If we don't have grace, we can't accomplish those things. And grace gives us that ability, that power. By the word of God, his grace is received by the preaching of the cross. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's what Paul left the Corinthians with. The power of God, he commended them to the word of his grace. And so that's something to say. Because that word was able to build them up. Powerful word. That word was able to give them an inheritance among all those who were sanctified. Powerful word. And it isn't just 13 words. You know, ask yourself the question, where did Paul get his gospel? people and these different groups try to teach that the Apostle Paul had a different gospel than Jesus. You know, if you do a little bit of study on that, I'd be careful. But the bottom line is they teach that the Apostle Paul, he had a very special gospel. That gospel wasn't the gospel of Peter. It wasn't the gospel of Matthew or Luke or John or any of those others. It was a gospel all his own that somehow God has accepted. And it was different, different from the gospel of Christ. Where did he get his gospel? In Acts chapter 20 and 24, Paul says, "For I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." That's where he got his gospel. When he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and sometime in interim thereafter, Paul received the gospel and he went out and immediately began to preach Jesus. He got his gospel from Jesus. How can his gospel be different from Jesus' gospel? Preaching the cross is preaching Jesus. It's preaching what Paul said by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what James said by the Holy Spirit, and all the other writers of the New Testament. We need to realize how important this is when it comes to talking with somebody else about the gospel of Christ. Whenever one is obedient to the gospel, he's saved by the grace of God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, with the household of Cornelius, that his family, his friends, they were all gathered there to hear words by which they might be saved. And Peter preached to the cross and concluded commanding them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That is part of the gospel. Baptism is part of preaching the cross. In Acts chapter 15, in verse 11, Peter said that, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Speaking here to the council in Jerusalem about the Gentiles who were saved by the preaching of the cross. And these were all saved by the preaching of the cross, which included preaching baptism. Again, without this, there can be no denial amongst Christians, amongst anyone who believes the Bible. We have to accept those terms. So why cite facts if we don't question them? Why is it that there's so many people out there that they cite these false teachings without question? And we need to make sure that we're a people who are questioning. Cornelius, that was the gospel being preached, the cross being preached. And we need to remember these things. Preaching the cross. The push of some articles that I've read recently on the internet from doctrinally sound brethren who we would think would never say such things. But I've read some papers where brethren are preaching against error and emphasizing the gospel and obedience unwittingly, that they say caused some people to stray from a cross-centered evangelistic message to the cross-centered appeal. And that's a lot to say. But basically what they're saying is that when we preach the cross, when we preach baptism and we preach doctrine and obedience, that we drive people away. So we plant seeds and we're the ones making the hearts hard. We plant seeds and we're the ones that make people receive that, but then get cares and the riches of the world cause them to be driven away. That's what the brethren are saying. We can't listen to this kind of teaching. We need to make sure that we know what the Bible says and just hold fast to those things when it comes to preaching the cross of Christ. Assuredly, the gospel, the facts that are there have to be believed. Commands obeyed, promises enjoyed, and threats taken seriously and avoided. there must be an impression upon our hearts when we think about teaching the gospel of Christ and receiving the gospel of Christ. But the denominational error we refute. The whole concept that obedience and baptism and doctrine has nothing whatsoever to do with preaching the cross. You know, Paul's preaching of the cross. When the apostles preached the cross, did they preach something in addition to the facts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? If we say yes, then we know that preaching the cross is more than those 13 words. If we preach anything other than the physical, literal death of Jesus on that cross, according to them, we're teaching false doctrine. And we need to see examples now, just of Paul, as he obviously, he preached the cross, and he preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When Paul preached the cross at Corinth, he preached at least three things as we look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. He preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. He also preached that Jesus was crucified for them, 1 Corinthians 1 and 13. He also preached that they should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 1 and 13, 6, 11, and Acts 8, 18 and 8. So Paul preached a whole lot more than those 13 words. Ask yourself a question. How did the Corinthians even know that they needed to be baptized? How did they know? It's kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch. How did he know there was water there and he needed to be baptized? If all they heard in this text was that Jesus Christ and Him crucified, how did they hear about baptism in the first place? When one preaches Christ crucified, he preaches not only the death of Christ, not only the burial of Christ, not only the resurrection of Christ, but everything that one must do in order to receive redemption and to procure his place in heaven. That's what preaching the cross is all about. When the Corinthians heard the preaching of the cross, they believed and were baptized, Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. And in this way, they were washed. Listen, they were washed. They were sanctified. They were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. All those things happened because of the preaching of the cross. Baptism is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus taught it, but Paul taught it also. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus commanded it. In Acts chapter 10:48, Peter commanded it, Acts chapter 19 and verse 5 and so on. We know what baptism is. We know that preaching the cross includes that. We know that it includes faith. We know that it includes repentance. And we know that it includes confessing Jesus. So how did the Corinthians learn that they had to be baptized in the name of Christ since they had never heard anything about except Jesus Christ and Him crucified? You see, it doesn't add up. In other words, they knew because the preaching of the cross included preaching baptism. And don't ever let anybody tell you that that's not so. Indeed, the entire letter of the Corinthians, the testimony of God, the wisdom of God, the gospel itself, and Christ crucified, it's all there. In other words, it's all in there. The preaching of the cross. When Paul spoke to the denominational divisions and encouraged unity, did he not preach the cross? When Paul wrote of marriage and the morality and adultery and idolatry, was he not preaching the cross? When he urged peace and decency and order in the churches in detailed directions regarding the place of spiritual gifts, did he not preach the cross? When he spoke to the resurrection of the dead and gave order to the churches concerning the collection of the saints, was he not preaching the cross? I want you to think in terms of this. Beware of those who say, let us preach the cross and not the church. It's a common phrase. You'll hear that from people. And what you want to do is you don't want to be stifled and set back by that simple statement. They believe they have power in their words, but we have the power from the Word of God. They're not preaching the truth, and we must. So we don't want to be set back by them. Those who say, let us preach the cross and not the church, or let us emphasize the person of Christ on the cross and not the plan of salvation. Who will say that those words are false? The words about the resurrection of the dead and the words about the order of the churches and words about baptism and words about doctrine and words about how we live spiritually holy lives. Who would say those words are not being preached? Who will say that Paul didn't preach those things? Anyone who's read the New Testament knows this is true. So it's a false choice to believe words like preach the cross, not baptism. And too many people fall from that kind of teaching. So, broken down in its simplest form, we think about the preaching is nothing more than what we're called to preach. But these false teachers turn it into something that's referred to as the old gospel doctrine. They say there's a difference between the cross and doctrine, and that the only thing necessary for salvation is the preaching of the cross. They want to preach the man, they say, and not the plan. Don't be deceived by the persuado or pseudo distinctions that people try to make. We'll find warnings about so-called differences in the Bible where Paul the Apostle said that if anyone preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. There is truly only one gospel. We're never told, where are we ever told to preach Christ more than we preach the church or baptism? Where does it say that? That's what the world wants you to learn. They say we need to trust more in the Savior's person and not so much in what He said or in His program. They say we need to lead people to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ rather than to a baptistry. And I guess I would question right away, how can you have a personal relationship with Jesus with only 13 words? That doesn't build for much of a relationship. Just quickly, Paul, interchangeable terms that he used speaking of salvation, baptized into Christ, baptized into one body, reconciled unto God and in Christ, reconciled unto God in one body. If you notice the correlation here, saved, redeemed by the blood of Christ, the church was purchased by the blood of Christ. He gave himself for me and tasted death for every man, and he gave himself for it, the church. Well, these things are important. Christ, made nigh by the blood. That's what we are, in one body, reconciled by the cross. The Apostle Paul once persecuted the church of God. We know that. But you know, when he persecuted the church, what did the Lord say to him? The Lord said, "Why are you persecuting me?" You see, the church and the Lord is the same thing, the body of Christ. And when we speak against the body of Christ, we're speaking against the gospel of Christ. To persecute the church was to persecute Christ. To preach Christ is to preach the church. If not, why not? Why can we not preach the church? That we need to be in the body of Christ. If to persecute Christ is to persecute the church, as Jesus made it out, then to preach Christ is to preach the church. You know, the Apostle Paul, he persecuted the church. Jesus asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" We need to make sure that no one beguiles you with enticing words, superficial spirituality, saying things that we need to talk more about Jesus Christ on the cross than about the church, than about the doctrine of Christ. In fact, what we need to do is we need to continue to preach the whole counsel of God. I hope that that would help you in some way, shape, or form when you meet up with somebody, and you will, who tells you to preach the man, not the plan. Because what we need to do is preach the plan of God. God created the world and the heavens. And when He did that, He created man. And when He put man upon the earth, man was to prosper and to multiply. And He did, even though he was still found in his sin. And from that, all of us exist today. That was part of God's plan. Another thing that God did is He sent His Son Jesus to come down from the glories of heaven to walk among men, to be a part of their lives, and to be able to bring a message to them, which was a lot more than 13 words. He spent 3 years preaching and preaching and preaching. You know, Jesus didn't spend 3 years on this earth saying, if you believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection that I will be a part of, then you can be saved. He taught many, many things. He taught His disciples what to do and what to say. He endowed them with the Holy Spirit from the Father in heaven. And they learned things, not only reminded what Jesus taught, but things that they were to learn and to be taught from God. And those things they taught us through the Word. And then Jesus ascended up into heaven. Yes, He did. And He is sitting in heaven right now on the right hand of God the Father with the Holy Spirit and all the hosts of heaven. A place that He wants us all to be. But now God's part's done. Jesus' part is done. And now it's your turn. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? If not, why not? And if you're a Christian and you've erred, we know we must make that right. And if you haven't, if not, why not? Right now is a great opportunity. The church is prepared and we're ready for you to serve you this night as we stand and as we sing.